Welcome in to episode 102 of Coffee and Shell. It is officially worldwide launch of NHL 25. Myself and Stu are back with another season of Coffee and Shell, and it is early, so I am indulging in quite a bit of coffee. I have hit the 100 hours straight of being live, so the energy is not at an all-time high during my subathon, so if anyone that didn't get to watch or hasn't checked it out, I have been live streaming, including sleeping, eating, living on stream for the last, over 100 hours. So, that being said, Stu, we've got many things to talk about, and I'm going to let you pick the topic of where we begin, because this will be a tough one.
Let's start off positive. Let's talk about your Seattle trip.
Okay, that's not where I thought we would go. Okay, let's start out positive. I don't know if I want to start this. A lot of the creators and the lifestyle creators as well. So that's like Nasher now, Swaggy P, Zach Bell, Powell Barber. EA invited us all out to Seattle for their NHL 25 Community Day. So this would be the second straight year that they did a Community Day after, I think, like a five-year hiatus. Because of COVID and obviously like that. So that said, got to meet a lot of people I haven't met before, like Burt Crown, who is my homie. I'm playing a lot of video games with him, and getting to see him was really cool. Polgs was back out there. Eki, you know, all of the people that are that you expect with making all the they're making YouTube content and streaming and whatnot. So it was fun. It was jam packed this year. They planned a really good trip. We there was never any downtime. Got to give a shout out to that the community and the engagement crew at EA. I think they did a fantastic job with it. We went to the Seattle Iceplex where they practice. There he is. For everyone now listening at home, Fisher has popped into the stream. It looks like he's awake. There he is. But anyway, so yeah, the trip was fun. We got to play a stream from the Seattle Iceplex. We got to go to the Seattle Kraken preseason game. My God, is Climate Pledge. That's how you know how tired I am. Climate Pledge Arena, amazing. It is a we got a tour of it, and like the technological advancement of that arena makes no sense. Like it is completely self-sufficient, like on energy. I don't understand how something that holds that many people doesn't need to, you know, use any bad stuff. But it's also really, have you been there?
No, we were going to go last year, I think, and then we decided not to, but it's not exactly obviously the closest trip to go to. And when we try to go out of town for like other teams, we try to hit like two or three, and then I would like to go though. Yeah, I would like to go. I think we might be shooting for like the Winter Classic this year and just taking it easy since it's in Chicago.
Yeah, it is a very weird arena from the outside because it looks like it's only one floor because the roof is street level. The roof for the building was a historical landmark, and Seattle's very like green and very they don't destroy things to put up new buildings very often. So they took the roof of an old building and they had to lift it up and then dig down. So if you're on street level, it looks like it's a one floor building. And then you get in there and it's a full arena. It was very.
Hey, did you look in the glass upstairs? I was telling you to look in.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
It's so weird.
Columbus, they don't have like the same setup where it's like at street level, but they have like windows upstairs too in their building.
That's right. Like, yeah. There's only like a 200 level, I believe, in Columbus. It's a wide arena. For perspective, Toronto or Buffalo is really steep. So is New Jersey. So is Prudential Center, if memory serves. But Columbus is, yeah, the seats go back really far.
My buddy works for that Oak, I think it's something Oak something group that like helps with those arenas. So he was like out there all the time when they were building that Kraken arena. Like, because I remember when I went to Nashville with him, and he was like showing me. He was like showing me the mock up of it because of how they were having to take out the roof.
Yeah.
And or dig underneath the roof, but keep it up while they were building it, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But they were like, I guess it was a big deal in Seattle to like keep that roof because it's so historic.
Yeah, is it very So we got to go tour that. It was awesome. There was a lot of Seattle Kraken players that came through. We got to see some ins and outs of like your face. We had to get our face scan and see how you make a jersey in game. And
Do you think you guys will be in the game? If you had to guess, you don't have to say that
in the game. No. Sorry, it was not a. It was more of like to show us the process.
Yeah, I still said like last year. I said that I still think you guys should be coaches in the game.
That's what I think too.
Just instead of the random people, because I know like I was when I played like with the devs this summer a little bit. Like I know that their names are the AI names, and they've been like that forever and ever and ever. Like the Gurndeep, Lewin, and like all those like random people. Like they use their devs names, but I still think you guys should be coaches instead of the random coaches that they put in the game, like Chris Wallstone, and using like a guy's Google. Didn't somebody say it was just like a random Google headshot or something? Like people, like,
yeah, headshots. I think they're Getty Image headshots. But the this year they're it's like one first and last name is each one dev. They wanted to use that as a shout out to their dev team, and they make the game, so it's I'm not gonna be like that's kind of bull, you know. I understand that. So I would love it if our faces. Well, imagine if they took our. Right. You know what I mean? Like if they used our faces for it. That'd be kind of cool. But you know, it is what it is. And anyways, it was very well done by them. I've only been on three because of COVID. It wiped it all out. That was by far the best one. It allowed us to I saw a lot of vlogs and whatnot. So there was a lot of content captured, and it was very, very well done. So props to them for that. Also, let's stay positive for the first little bit, even though everyone wants to be negative, and I don't blame them, especially if you are a hut lad. We're at a point now, it almost feels like politics. If you enjoy NHL in any way, any portion of it, you're just like, you're going to get flamed. You know what I mean? Like, you're not allowed to enjoy it, right? So, as you know, I've played an exceptional amount because of my subathon. I can't remember a time where I have enjoyed gameplay this much. And there are flaws to it, and we'll get into that. There are things that need to be worked on, but part of me wants them to not touch it because I would rather them not touch it and make it worse when they try to adjust it, because that's my fear. That they'll try and fix things in it, and it'll end up just busting the whole thing, and we'll be like, "Well, now we're screwed." But that being said, I don't remember a time where I've just been like, "Man, I just want to play Rivals." And you know, again, we'll get in the hut. But what do you think about the gameplay so far since launch?
So I sent in a few, I guess you want to call them complaints. Not terribly. Like I like the gameplay, like you said.
Talk about what you like first, then we'll do the bad.
I like the one timer idea because like we talked about last year numerous times, like you couldn't even take a one timer if you're far away. I think if I was like super into hut this year, it'd be cool too, just because it's fun to like abuse, I guess, the meta. So yeah, I think it'd be fun to like have a bunch of dudes with gold 1T and silver 1T, because I think you would literally just score from everywhere. I like the fact that it feels smoother. I'm glad they got rid of the LT or L2 figure skating. I think that's more fun. I'm trying to think. I think the graphics even look better. I know it's not gameplay, but I think the graphics even look better because now they can upscale it to like the new consoles. Mm-hmm. Trying to think some of the other things with the gameplay. I don't know. I just think they polished up a lot of the stuff that maybe they haven't been able to or something. I don't know. I just think it feels more polished.
Let me ask you this. I feel like there's never been a game where you can use all of the tools at your disposal defensively in an NHL game, because stick lifts are work. Stick lifts work. Again, I've only been playing hut. You've been playing versus, so the attributes are far different. So launch is a little tough because you can't bump anyone. And I've reached out about moments, because it feels like what it was last year where it was like on arcade, right? But everyone has low body checking because all the good defensemen are fast, right?
Right.
And no one can bump anyone. And that's a product of the attribute mattering. And that, I like that. I feel like attributes need to matter, right? So you have to be in position well. You know, it's a low key nice thing. You know those avoidance of the collisions. Have you noticed any of those? I've caught my guy doing like the slip by, because in prior games they would just do one of these where they're like running into each other, like locked. Right. You know what I mean? Now I'm noticing at the blue line or if whatever, your AI will literally like just get out of the way, like make a motion that they're skating by, and I've had goals scored on me and against me because of it. And I'm like, that's what you said is the best way to say it. It just feels polished and cleaner. And that's what I kind of had a feeling. There wouldn't be any, it wouldn't feel like there's this massive change. It just, when you're watching it and playing it, it just doesn't feel as clunky from that standpoint. Now, it does feel slower.
Real quick, we're doing a live pack opening here. I got on pot because I haven't been on it. And like, I got that pack with the Drysdale, Laine, Kemper, Sergachev, and Landis. Do those do anything, these cards?
No, no, it's all good. Yeah, we can get into Hutt now. I'll come back to that.
No, we're saying gameplay. Just tell us what these cards do.
They upgrade via tokens that you can earn via the XP path.
Okay.
I'd pick Kemper or Drysdale and then not upgrade them. You get 5 of those packs, and then you get enough tokens to upgrade one card to 85. So I would take Kemper or Drysdale because those are the best cards at 80 overall, and then just leave them. And then I'd probably go Laine and upgrade Laine all the way. But Laine at 80 is like,
So you get this pack again.
You get it 5 times.
Okay.
So anyways, the bad about game, not even the bad about, I see, like, I really don't think there's anything really bad. Unscreened D2D one timers.
Yes.
Unscreened D2D one timers. Need a reduction. It almost feels like the goalie's getting pulled out of the way when you do it, and that needs to be dialed down a little bit. But when they start messing with the DDD or with the one timers, though, man, my fear is that like they're just not going to go in ever again.
Well, and they've said that to us. That's, you know what I mean. Like they've agreed to it. Like that was my biggest complaint is, once people like figure out like that's pretty much the way to score, it's just going to be
So
it'll be nonstop.
I was getting a little frustrated because, like, I was like, man, you got to be able to stop this. I went tight point, puck side attack for like the first time in maybe 8 years. All right. And the manual player select, I don't know. They didn't improve it, but it's working more. And I'm wondering if it's because the AI is like spaced out, whatever. For anyone who doesn't know, you can hold down the right trigger and then aim the right stick in the direction you want to select a player. And then you can let go of R2 and it'll actually select it. So, dude, I have been eating guys alive by switching to my far side winger and just sticking on him at the blue line. The amount of people that still force it through because they want that one timer, because intercepts work. Like, everything is intercepted. That's another thing. In the middle of the ice, it's very hard to get a pass through at all. And, but I don't want them to, again, I'd rather them keep it than try to mess a little bit. The other thing, the AI moves, man. Like, it just wheels around. They don't stand still. I'm having a blast using behind the net. What are you using as an offensive attribute?
I'm running Crash the Net.
I know Crash has been pretty popular, especially off the rush. It's so good. I just don't like that once you're in the zone, man, they just go randomly. Like, it's hard to find, like, predictability in it. But I know it's a lot. Overload is, you would think, would be good. I was using that early on. The problem is that the AI intercepts everything. So because they set up so wide, like, there's a lot of space to go for a one-timer. You just really, you know. But behind the net, which I thought would be the worst because D2Ds and one-timers are the thing. My God, is it good? You can dump and chase. You can run the puck around. Your AI far side winger will actually beat the defender now. Like, that is the most refreshing thing, maybe. You get across the blue line and then rip a pass all the way around if you've got full dump on the slider. And my winger will actually beat out the defender if the defender isn't manually controlled and going to play for it. So,
right,
really loving that. Like, because it feels fresh. And I know the people that aren't enjoying it in terms of gameplay said it feels slow. And I think that's because they're used to just going end-to-end and forcing passes right through the middle. You know, it definitely, it looks like the way the game is set up right now, it promotes cycling the puck for one timers. And when you start cycling, it's very, it's much cleaner and wetter to do it. So yeah, that's the good and the bad. What would you change? Just the D to D on screen one timers?
I also don't like how the pressure system goes off way too easily.
Yeah.
Then.
I think it's when you get a greened one timer.
Dude, it could be like, sometimes I feel like they're in the zone for 2 seconds, and maybe they get like a green one tee from a mile away, and it's like, boom, already up. I'm like, holy cow. Like, it just seems like
it is being activated I think I see it at least a couple times a game, whereas at the end of NHL 24, I would see it once every like 3 or 4 games. But I also wonder, is that a product of us changing how we play? Because again, it's not just skate down the boards and huck a pass through the middle. It's cycle the puck for a while and then take shots that are like one timers. And if the goalie saves it, like, I guess that would be a harder save to make, but like in real life, you're not going to be exhausted from that. But anyways,
pressure system probably, like, it probably was not, I get what they were trying to make, but it probably, I don't know. It could probably be removed from the game for good, but they won't do that. But that's just my opinion.
I don't even, dude, I honestly have gone back and forth on this. I don't know if they should. I think if it was dialed down to where it was in 24 at the end, like where you see it so rarely and only if you're like egregiously beating someone up. We said this since the beginning. It's a very arcadey way to get to the result that happens in normal hockey. You know, like when dudes get stuck out there for 2 minutes. Oh, my camera went off. When guys get stuck out there for 2 minutes, or right, like they're not moving, especially like on the penalty kill. Penalty kill would be a great example of it. Like when the penalty kill's out there for a full 2 minutes, they don't move. They're just a square. They're trying to unscrew, like get out of the way of their goalie to make a stop. And, you know, obviously there's no red bar going around the boards, be like, here's pressure. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's kind of,
yeah,
that's the annoying part, is that there's like this like arcadey look and feel to it. But I think, again, it dialed back to what it was. It just, it gets you to the results of real hockey, but it does it in a very arcadey way.
Yeah, and I still, some of the other smaller things were like the passing goal. They fixed that.
Yes.
Apparently.
I haven't had it scored on me.
Yeah. Then the L trigger or LT speed burst thing is super annoying, especially if you play anybody that knows about it. It's just like, It's just another dumb thing to get a speed boost. But Polk's has been telling them about that for probably
been talking about it for a while. Yeah, he's been talking about it for a while. Then, I think that'll be addressed.
I think it will too. And then hip checks are still just too easy to do, in my opinion. Now, in the right spot, they should be done, sure. But like, I shouldn't be able to take my guy on a forecheck and just fly down the ice on a forecheck, just turn my butt and stick it out and just flip a guy.
It is happening again.
It's so easy to do it. Like I told the guys at EA, I said I abuse it, but I go, it shouldn't be in the game. But if you're gonna leave it in the game, I'm gonna use it. So that's my motto. Has always been that. I don't care if it's a glitch goal, whatever. If you're putting it in the game and I'm trying to win a hockey game, I'm gonna do it. So yeah. I just wish they would, I don't know, going back to the pressure system, I just wish they would I don't know, just maybe figure out a way to, if you play Madden or NCAA football, like when you run your quarterback a gazillion times, he will fumble it, like eventually, if that makes sense. So it's like, that's the kind of thing.
Is that arcadey though? Like, because that's not,
no, because I don't think it is, because
that feels like a mechanic.
When you watch a football game, a running back isn't going to keep running and running and running and like they're going to swap a guy out because he's going to be exhausted. And that's what I mean by, like, if they had a better way to, you know, to have like some sort of stamina in the game where it shows that, I don't know. It's just, I just feel like it just seems so random, I guess. And I just wish it was more of a way to, you know, besides the pressure system, I wish there was more of a way to show.
You know, it'd be nice. You know, it'd be nice now that thinking about it. If you don't cleanly line up a hip check, right? It should trigger. It should trigger the slip animation.
Yeah,
because that would like so the slip animation. What we were talking about earlier, how like the AI will literally just get like it'll slip by an opponent, and it's the AI doing it. It's like a full new animation. It's one of the things that they talked about in their reveal trailer and stuff. Imagine if you were going slow and you put your butt to like the forecheck, right? And it's just like a stupid hip check. Like, it's not a hip check. You're literally just butt checking. Imagine your guy automatically slip check. Because if they do that and you keep the puck, you're torched, right? Like, it's like, right, if that's on the rush or cycling the puck, like, your guy is just able to get by. And maybe that would promote not doing it, or well, only doing it at the right time.
You know what's funny is, and Majel makes a good point, hip checks need to be removed from one butt, and that's the major issue. Mm-hmm. Honestly, God, he's kind of right, because this was not a topic till last year, and they added total
control. It's too hard to do it. Now, it's a very awkward button now, sequence.
I use total control because it's basically skill stick. Yeah. I understand the line changes are a little different, but I got used to it.
Did you put the second hand? Did you use the second hand?
I don't even know what I do. I just do it, and I never had any issues last year where I was like, oh my God, I had the line change, and I'm playing a sweaty, and I couldn't do it because I had to, you know, I guess I use my other hand. I don't know what I do.
I take my left hand off the left stick, put it on the directional pad, take my right, if I have the puck, I take my right finger and put it on the left thumbstick. Yeah, very, very quickly. Yeah, but that's how I did it.
And I think it's actually maybe like somewhat of a better player's mind because I slow the game down for a second and then I can like get it. But like, honestly, I think he's right. Like, the total control, I don't know what made them like, and it's fine. I feel like they basically just added it for the Michigan, to be real honest with you. But like, yeah, that is the main reason why I think it is such a big deal now, is because of total control, because you can just hit a button, and that's what I do. I just hit a button, and I never used hip checks back in the day when it was with the skill stick.
I would love to know in the comment section if there's anyone that started playing in the last couple of years, like you first picked up NHL for the first time, if total controls made it fun, because the whole point of total controls is to make a new player actually be able to play the game and use everything at your disposal. And from that standpoint, I can appreciate the fact that, like, no one thinks about the people that are just trying the game for the first time, because we're all nerds, we're all hardcore players, we're all obsessed with it, and we think through the game through that lens, and that we should, because that's how we experience the game. But I think that, like, if you get your cousin who's just maybe getting into hockey, and he's like, you're like, do a Michigan, like, you know, like, they can at least do it now. Right. Or a hip check thing, like, that's the thought process, I'm sure.
I agree.
There's far fewer of them, like, brand new players that couldn't do that stuff, than the actual player base that now like abuses those. I will say, when I see someone that does it still, and we're talking about the hip check. So like, when you hold down the hip check and you go into the corner on the forecheck, and people will do it to get there, because when you run into someone, you're getting like a big, you'll lose the puck. And I pass the puck so much now. As my camera goes out, sorry for any of the YouTubers. I pass the puck so much now that I don't really have that problem. And I think it's because the game promotes cycling. And it looks, the games I've played look more like real hockey, other than hucking it from the point, the unscreened, because those don't go in 99% of the time in real hockey. But we might have a perfect and MLB home run type situation when you cycle the puck around and someone pulls a guy out of position and you hammer a 1T upstairs top corner, like in the Ovechkin spot. I haven't been that satisfied scoring a goal in a long time, and I don't know if you feel the same kind of way about those ones.
No, I do, and I was, another thing I told one of the devs is, I just said I would like to see them take into account, if you're going to have a player like a Stamkos and Ovi, like, sure, like, they're better at it. They're like, their sweet spots, like, a little larger. You know what I mean? Like they always make jokes about like how Ovi can one tee
from any feed, like
anywhere in his feed, and he has window. I'd like the window to be more narrowed down. So like, the guys that are better at it in real life, and it's not hard to, you could literally just go watch games. Like, I mean, I'm thinking, guys, off the top of my head, Stamkos, Ovi, Alex DeBrincat,
Dreisaitl,
just different guys like that that are really good at it. And then you have guys like, and I've skated with them, so I know this, like Tarasenko, who can't even take a 1T.
Yeah,
I've played for many times. Like, yeah, like, sure, he could probably take a 1T. Now, could he do it in a game successfully? No. That's why on the power play, they always put him on the other side when everyone else puts guys in the forehands. But yeah, that's the kind of thing I wish I wish they would take more into account rather than just like everybody, like I always say, like Ryan Reeves, because like it's just a joke to me, because like, but I like Ryan Reeves can take a 1-2, or you know, Matt Rempe. Or
it's funny. Guy, you know, it would be cool in the next game or an update. It won't happen now, but if the window for successfully getting off a 1-T was bigger or smaller based on their slap shot rating.
Yeah.
Like to take that into account. Or like, I know if you have the 1-T, 1-T is an ability I thought would be like super overpowered. It'd be the meta. Dude, you don't need it. That's the, you know, like that's the problem. 1-T, I guess, makes the window bigger, but the window is so easy that like you really don't need it once you get the hang of it.
No, but my goodness, when you do without with that Ovechkin, it is nuts.
Yeah, and I wonder if like Ovechkin and Matthew's shot is like the skating for Eichel and McDavid, because we know it's different. Like,
yeah,
there's something about Matthew's shot every year that just in Hutt at least there's something about it that just goes in more. And I wonder if Ovechkin and whatnot, because the one timers, like I don't know, like. It's just, yeah. Anyway, so I think that let's get into the meat and potatoes here. Everyone's been watching this video, waiting for this part. So the good part of the game so far is gameplay, in my opinion. I'm sure there are people out there that don't like it, and I think that's why NHL will never be universally loved 1 year. Like we will never have an NHL 14 until the game is long past, because what I enjoy won't be what you enjoy, and vice versa. But from what I have seen in my community. And, you know, I've had a couple thousand people watch, come through my channel over the subathon. I have seen 95% praise of gameplay. That whether it feels fresh, it's different, they like what the changes are. So credit to them for that. There are fixes that need to be done, like we brought up. But I would take what we have now over the whoever is the fastest, go down the wing and huck it right through the middle, because your AI won't intercept it, and it's a backdoor one, and or 23, where it is literally just quick wrapping, you know? So if those are the last 2 years and that's how you ended up having to play the game, I will take this iteration of the meta and getting one tease, because I can defend it. It's hard to defend, but you put a focus on it, bro, there's nothing like watching a guy who, especially, I don't want to single out a certain area of my country, but there is a certain selection of the player base that I go up against regularly that will sit there and just stare at their far side defenseman, and I will just select my far side winger, and I won't move, and when the AI starts to move, which again is a good thing, I just move with him, manually defend, play high, tight point, and puck side attack. I wouldn't go high pressure because the circling in the middle and it kind of leaves the slot way too open, but for example, that's what I would do, and I think that you'll find that you'll enjoy it quite a bit more. All right, let's talk about Hutt. Bro, yesterday was a time. Worldwide launch was a time. Did you tune in for any of it?
I didn't.
Okay.
I did not.
Okay. So, I can't remember a time.
Like in your stream?
In my stream, yeah.
Yeah, and you looked like you were in a very, very enjoyable, fun mood. That's what I noticed when I came in there,
bro. So 10 minutes before noon, I don't remember a time where I have been in that good of a mood. And you got to remember, I've been streaming at that point for 3 straight days. I have literally not ended my stream for 3 straight days, so it's not like I'm full of energy. My community hype was off the charts. It was just like, you know, even if it's bad, it can't be that bad, because even still, gameplay's good. You know, this is going to be a great day. We're going to get to see our first like run at how we're going to play the game. I think we should do the same thing that we just did with gameplay. Let's start with the good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Earning rewards immediately. Big W. I think the XP path, in its core of how it works, in that you earn rewards immediately, that's a big win. If you were to ask me, hey, if I could earn Rivals and Squad Battle rewards weekly, the amount of them, would you rather them on one day throughout the week arbitrarily, or would you rather get them when you earn them? We would all agree, get them when we earn them. There isn't one person out there that would sit there and tell me that waiting until Wednesday night is better than you played X amount of games, you hit a certain tier of rewards, you get the reward immediately. Not one person would say that. So the process of the XP path is a good thing, and I think it will be a good thing. Wild card is Hutt Rush, but cleaned up. And, you know, there's it's Hut Rush without the objectives being broken. And because of how it works, it's wins and losses. So it's not do deeks and scoring right. the same way. And I think that that's a good thing because it's not forcing you to play away only for rewards. At the end of the day, if you're playing the game just for rewards and not actually enjoying the game, I think that that's an issue that we're all that you might need to go play a different game, or you like franchise. If you don't like playing the game, but you're only playing for the rewards, go play franchise mode, man. Like, honest to God, because like I think that you would enjoy it more because franchise mode got quite a bit of love this year. So wild card, I had a great time during early access, and then worldwide launch happened last night. Hopped in. I'm in Division 2 now, and that's not a big flex, but I guess Division 2 is technically pretty tough right now because everyone's still, like, you know what I mean? Everyone's still close together. Skill-based matchmaking in Wildcard. So every Wildcard game, if you're a good player or a decent player, you're matching up against other good, decent players. And it's like, I played 20 games. I played Deeks. Like, I played Pizzetta. I played a couple other guys that qualified for GWC in the team phase, and I was just like, how am I matching the I didn't get one game. Like, sure, matching up against tough players, that should happen even without skill. CJ, I matched CJ and I had crossplay off, like, I, you know what I mean? And the issue with
it even happen,
I don't understand it. And anyways, the issue with that is that I didn't match up with anyone where I beat their brakes off, whereas I was getting matched up with dudes that would either kill me or were as good as me. And it was just like, by the end of it, was just like, good Lord, man. Like, I felt exhausted. I just sweated for 3 hours for a mode that's supposed to be fun. And I think that skill-based matchmaking does help the lesser player, and that's important. I think that in a mode like Wildcard, though, having no skill-based matchmaking might be where it, you know, I don't know. It's such a delicate, it's such a hard balance that I don't think the gaming industry has fixed at all, because the better player you are, the harder it is always. Like, it's no break, right? Like, it's no, you know, as a worse player, you'll get better at the game, and because you can get better at the game at a much wider, faster rate than someone who is good trying to become great, you'll end up with those games where you get like 40 kills in COD, or like you'll beat someone 9-0. And, you know, it's just skill-based matchmaking in a mode like Wildcard was rough. But I still prefer it over Hut Rush. I saw a lot of people saying they'd rather have Hut Rush. Dude, the objectives didn't work. The mode was so inherently broken. I think that for Wildcard, though, the biggest fix, and this is what I said about Hut Rush too, just let us invite our friends. And because it's wins and losses, you don't need to track some crazy thing. If we win as a team, everyone on the team gets a win, and you work towards the wild card path. If you make wild card allow us to play with our friends and other people, dude, how much fun would you have just playing sixes? Like, I, because sixes is kind of broken, but that's from a mode standpoint, not so much gameplay. If you could bring, like, dude, we could do like a coffee and shell, just like, you know, sixes, like playing flying through the wild card thing, right?
Right.
And I think that would make wild card a little bit better. It's very simple. I do like the draft of it, but unfortunately, I knew this would happen. We're still just getting bronze cards, you know? Everyone's team is close together, though, which I enjoy. And I brought this up a lot, that if you're an offline player, a lot of people were complaining that because they're squad battle players or offline players, that it's unfortunate that they have to play on Superstar because that's how they get the most points for it. Whereas on online, you get almost double for a win or a loss. And I was like, hey, try online. You get more you basically get the same amount as a loss that you do for a win on Superstar. And if you get a win, you get 100 points or 1,000 points towards this thing. The amount of people that said, hey, I was kind of scared to try online because I'm not very good, that said, I'm actually winning games and enjoying it. It's a great introduction to being an online player. And because it's skill-based matchmaking and you don't play rivals very well, like, you're going to match up against like-minded players. So I think it's a great introduction to playing online. And I think that online should always be rewarded more than offline players, simply because it's in offline, you can legitimately manipulate Online, it's much harder to do so. You're still manipulating, but you know what I'm saying. Like you, so I think that the wild card path and how you quickly you get through that or not quickly, I think it's in an okay spot. But again, there are some changes that I think I'd make. I want to just use event cards and MSPs, man. Like that's what I want. I want to be able to select three MSPs from the event that I don't have that I could try, especially because I'm not going to be able to make many of them. So in wildcard, let us use multiple MSPs from the event. And I think that that might be a little fun because we're still using so many silvers, you know, like Rush was.
I think it'd be cool too, like kind of like MLB where your XP could be from any mode to go to HUT also.
Franchise and Wild of Shell.
Yeah, like I just think because if you make it so tedious to do it or whatever, and that's fine. Like that, just because somebody plays franchise or plays World Cell doesn't mean they're gonna for sure play HUT. But I think it'd be cool to like reward people for playing all the time, no matter what it is. Even like, you know, like yeah, like franchise and World, maybe even just World of Cell. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But I think it'd be cool to do that. I've also with the XP path, I've gone back and forth with like some of the ideas, because like, I've seen different ideas. You know, I think Polgs might have mentioned like have like six ultimate packs throughout the thing or something like that. So like I'm just making up something, but if they gave everyone like a 99 by the end of each path, because how long does a path take? Like, or like somebody said, it's like how many weeks is it basically supposed to?
Eight.
So 8 weeks. So by the end of 8 weeks, if they gave you a 99, and I know that's like, whoa, right? But 8 weeks is a while, I think. And would it really crush the progression if they gave somebody a 99 every like 60 some odd days or 50 some odd days? Like, and that, and you know what I'm saying? Like, and maybe even before 99, they give somebody a 95 at 7 weeks. You know what I'm saying? There's something where it's like, if you're grinding that, there is that actual carrot to chase. I mean, because if you remember MLB, like, I know we always use MLB, but he's MLB a few years ago. Remember the year of like the Kershaw and like all those guys that you would get through their XP thing that everyone was like grinding to like knock those out. You know what I mean? And it kept you playing. I just feel like there's nothing that makes me being free to play. Like, and we'll get into the whole free to play. Like,
yeah,
because you're doing the not a dollars. I'm pretty
sure.
Yeah,
brother.
So we'll, and I told you I would give it a shot if there was legitimate, you know, like a legit or like they should put team builders in the XP path, maybe. I mean, then it kind of defeats the purpose of team builders, maybe. So I don't know if that's what they want, but
I see what you're saying. You're seeing a massive carrot to chase throughout the team builder. I don't know if 99 in NHL is far different than 99 MLB though. So like that's, but the Eichel at the end. So like the card they actually put at the end, the Eichel card at tier 60, is probably the best card in the game, and it probably won't be at the time when we get there, 8 weeks from now. But it's still an exceptionally good card that will be on your team, especially if you don't spend money for, God, at this rate, months. I think what needs to happen, I said this before the drop of the worldwide release when we got to see the first XP path. They made so many changes to how the economy works. It's completely different. This is a completely new era of Hockey Ultimate Team. What we are used to and how we played the game for the last 10 years and how we built our teams and how we used our rewards, all of that, has been very similar for 10 years. And we always complain that there's no change. But when they make such a drastic change, and I don't want to say there's no, I don't even know how you would have tested it, because there's the new tech involved. Like, it needed to be developed to actually be able to release rewards like this. But, man, it is so jarring that team building in HUT for NHL 25 is cooked. Like, I don't know. Well, I do know how they salvage it, but I don't think they'll do it. They need to release packs or put packs in the XP path that give us set fodder to be able to chase these high-end cards. Because if not, if you just accept the rewards they have, and because there's no massive pack dump from squad battles or rivals anymore, there is just no way that you can save everything to make one of these cards. And I don't think everyone should have a team fully loaded of these guys. But it would be great if it was possible, you know? And it's so early on, and maybe it will be possible, but the reaction after worldwide launch, like, my vibes were shot. Like, because I was so excited about the gameplay and we've got instant rewards, and we've got stuff to chase, and they have all of the tools that necessary to have the best hockey ultimate team game mode that we have ever had. And I just feel like the appropriate people are not in a position to succeed. This is what I would say to any of the developers that are making content. I don't think they're dumb. I think they're humans. I think they're trying things. I don't think they've ever grinded Hutt for a year. And I think that when you have people that are not grinding the game or have not spent a year with 1,000 hours, something obnoxious, like something that isn't healthy or normal, but if you have don't have one of those people that are in your ear, at least at the table, then you have people that are going to come up with ideas that they think will work, and they're just inherently going to be very poorly received. And what I would challenge any of the content developers is you show me your account of no money spent, not spending a dollar. You show me how you got a hologram or a team builder card or even built your squad, no money spent. And I will tip my cap and not say a bad word at all for the rest of the year, because I don't think that any of them have gone through the grind. And I don't blame people for not going back to work after you've spent work. Like when I play video games for a living, let me tell you, when the stream ends, I don't sit down to play more video games. So I can appreciate that. But I need to see, for my opinion to change as to what's going on, I need to see, without spending any money or spending hours on the market, because the menu system is not fun, show me how we're supposed to use the XP path and the rewards at our finger at our, that are available to us to actually acquire these things. And we're so early on. So, you know, like I want to state that just because we can't get the best cards immediately doesn't mean that the game is bad. It means that it's a change from prior years where you could have, I mean, last year, no money spent, I had Lemieux and I had 4 team builders and I had a bunch of icons or X factors, right? But I did it without spending a dollar in the game, you know? And even if you spend money in the game right now, the packs aren't in the store that are needed to help the market actually succeed and come down. Because I know you haven't paid attention to this part, but the cost is so high because there isn't any packs in the store that give you 75 and above player items. They're all 80 and above. There was more McDavids in the market than entire Seattle Kraken players. Like, that can't happen. That is a fundamental economic issue in the game. And what's crazy is the cost for these cards, the 77s and the 76s, is only going up now. It is only going up now until EA releases packs, because people still buy them, which I used to always be like, even this past week, I used to be like, hey, man, if you're going to buy packs, sorry for the rant, if you're going to buy packs because you want to substitute time for money and you are well off and you work really hard and you've got a ton of money and you want to put a few hours into a game you love, whether it's Hutt or FIFA or Madden, and that is how you enjoy the game, but you don't have time to grind out all the stuff that the normal grinders would, so you spend money, I totally understand that, because I used to be that, and that's normal, and that you should do that. But man, there will not be any change until a significant amount of packs are not opened, and the packs right now in the store will not give you enough value for your money. Like, what's crazy is EA just needs to make better packs, and it would probably solve the issue, which drives me up the wall, because that means that more people are going to buy packs when they eventually release these things, and then the circle is just going to continue. There isn't going to be any fundamental changes at the, you know, and we're right. Just, here we are, you know, like this is it. Like, this is the cycle, which I saw on Reddit and I saw on my YouTube comments that I wasn't bashing EA, and that frustrates me. Because I've been doing this for a long time now, and I don't think that these people are bad people. I legitimately just think that there is not someone at the table that fully understands the normal player. They have not grinded the mode, not even an unhealthy amount, just played through from start to finish in Hockey Ultimate Team, and that I don't see how it's going to be fixed. Because people keep ripping packs, I have been no money spent. I haven't spent a dollar in this game in over 2 years. And if I'm the number one most watched HUT creator, just HUT, and I haven't spent any money and my entire content is, hey, these are the cards you should go after. This is how I built my team by not spending any money. You should do this if you want to do that. You don't need to spend any money. You'll get a full 99 team. I don't know what else I'm supposed to do. People are expecting me to go and stand on a soapbox on Twitter and just bitch and moan publicly. That won't do anything. That will not do anything. All I can do, and I can promise you, is speak to them in a Discord or wherever I can access them and say, guys, these are the issues. This is how I would fix it. Something needs to happen. Whether you take my ideas or use them, I don't care. Just involve people that spend thousands of hours in your game and float an idea and be like, hey, if we did this, what's the temperature of the community? And if you have the 10 biggest communities in HUT go, yo, that ain't gonna fly, we could avoid some of this stuff. If you would have floated that XP path, what they released, if they just showed us, and even if they said, hey, we're gonna stick with this, but we want your feedback on it. I want to see your feedback on it, right? And maybe we can make quicker changes, or maybe we could, you know, address some of the things like the fact there's no 75 overall cards in the game. If that happens, like, maybe we can impact some change quickly. It's not like a gameplay thing, bro. When you have a problem with gameplay for years, right? And a game changer goes up and says, hey, this has been in the game forever. We got to figure out a way to do this. That could take 2-3 years of actual dev time to code a fix, right? Like, I can't think of an example, though, bro, like of a gameplay thing that we've talked about for years that's been in the game. I don't know if you can give me an example.
Like glitch wraps, maybe?
Yeah, like something? The glitch wraps. Yeah, like glitch wraps. Like, that takes patches. That takes coding. That takes developers sitting down, not working on the next game, and saying, hey, we got to figure out how to fix this. Could take 2 years, right?
I was going to say, to be blunt, I mean, we all knew this was coming. It's like, all they do is follow FIFA and Madden saying, like, this has been in FIFA and Madden, this XP path.
But FIFA is rewarding, and they give weekly rewards still. I don't play FIFA, but...
I think FIFA might be the most advanced, and then even Madden follows FIFA. But, like, when I played Madden this year, because I got the code, and I was like, oh, I'll try out Madden. I haven't done it in a long time. It's like, after, like, a week of Ultimate Team, I was already like, well, I can't keep up. You know what I mean? Because I didn't spend money. So, like, maybe if they follow FIFA in the future, maybe it'll be way better. Because it's like, I always feel like they're just like 5 steps behind all those other games, and they just follow their path or their progression. Because, like I said, like, Madden's still that way where it's like, if you don't spend money in Ultimate Team, you're screwed.
It's
tough. Like, I told you already, like, if you do that 99 player thing that I said, where it's like every 8 weeks you get a 99 overall, and don't make it McKinnon, don't make it McDavid.
It needs to be a choice. It would need to be a choice pack.
Maybe not even a choice pack. Maybe take the person. I don't know. Maybe a choice pack. I don't know. Something where it's unique players that, they're star players, but they don't always get like super.
Yeah,
cards,
like, yeah, they don't.
Like Zach Hyman. I don't know. I'm
Kaprizov.
Just making up something. Kaprizov. Like, just something crazy where it's different. Like, not the McDavid's McKinnon's, but what I'm saying is, if you did 3 99s, that's literally 24 weeks into the game or whatever, that wouldn't be until like March 20 something that you're literally, you'd only have 3 99s by then.
Or
I don't think that would, like, I don't think that would ruin the game by having 3 99s by March 25th or something like that.
Or allowing Eichel to upgrade.
That too, but
that, like, yeah, allowing exactly. Eichel, yeah. Like, allowing Eichel to upgrade would go a long way as well.
Right, because like you said, like, I love Eichel, but like 87 Eichel is not going to matter in 8 weeks that much. Like, it's just, I don't know. I just don't understand. Like even when, like, when I see the XP path, even all that like minutia in between Eichel, it's just like green, orange, green, purple, green,
those
orange.
Those packs. So this is what my fear was, is that they would, their rewards would be so conservative that what needed to happen after seeing what happened in early access, what needed to happen is they needed to pump that XP path full of packs that give us set fodder, and then we can make our decision. I want to read something to you. This is from CF Plays. Someone in my chat just said, it's day zero, you know, if you play the game by December, you'll have a good team. I want to point something out here. The XP path is 8 weeks long, 55 days. It removed squad battles and rivals rewards weekly. Even if you couldn't get Elite One in squad battles, and let's say you were Division Three and only got Diamond, not even Ultimate, right? You would still end up with about 20, 30 packs of actual stuff you can pull. This is the total XP path, all right? The XP path guarantees, again, 55 days, 8 weeks long, 777 and above cards. That's it. Like, full stop, that's where the conversation ends. Seven. And when you do that, it is so egregiously pointing towards, I can't get anything to make stuff that I want. So, yep. Where are we going to go, fellas? Where do we go to get more stuff if we can't get it?
And then that comment in the chat, Jay Lane says, how about we try no 99s for once? Do you remember the year that they gave us a Mike Richards? I think it was Mike Richards, Paul Bissonnette, at Christmas. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure they were 99s. That did not break the game, having one guy in your team that was a 99. Having one 99 on your team in 8 weeks from now would not break the game for the whole community. I'm sorry. It just wouldn't. And just because you're a 99, I said this before, just because you're like a 99 or you got 99 this, it doesn't. Or not, 95, sorry, 95, Richard, yeah. My bad. But still, you get the point.
He's like famously one of the most well-received cards.
He was amazing, but it was never like a thing where it was like, oh my God, like, I don't know what to do when Richards is on the ice. You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't think it would like ruin the game. There's too many guys on a hockey team where it's like, it stands out so much. I just don't buy that. I just think there has to be something more to it. And like somebody else said in the chat, so I think it's a good idea too. Fantasy. Why not make it at like XP spot 20? You get a fantasy card for every single team in the league. You get to pick like one guy. You know what I mean?
And it's not a superstar of that team.
Not a superstar. It's just so like the Sharks could be Tyler Toffoli.
Or Eklund. But Toffoli might be the best one. But it might be like Eklund, for example. Sure. Or something like that. Like someone who doesn't score like 30 goals, but you know what I mean? At least to someone on your favorite team. Like I said, the XP path before it happened, I said it needed to be 250 tiers and it needed to include substantial packs throughout. And because it needs to replace the weekly rewards, you know? And if, you know, we're all just frustrated. That's it. Every year we complain about lack of rewards and things like that. The tools are there in the game to actually give the rewards in a fun way. I haven't touched squad battles outside of maybe two games, dude. And the freedom of not having to play a mode that I hate is unbelievable and is, I think, overlooked by the community of how well and how good that is. That is a unbelievable change the Hut team did, that we do not have to play squad battles if we don't want to, or you don't have to play rivals if you like squad battles. That is such a good change that makes the game so much fresher. And all that needs to hit is the rewards given to the player base so that we're not just playing versus with the ability to go buy an all-star team. That's it. Yep. You know? And I got to be honest with you. Anyone that's out there thinking about spending maybe even just... It's not the guys that spend $1,000 or $2,000. Those guys are out there. They're the whales. They have FU money, right? That's not what I'm talking about. It's the guys that, hey, I got the game. I love Hut. I'm gonna spend $100. Dude, $100 will not get you anywhere in the current store of what's being offered. I'm not saying the packs in the store aren't like buying, you couldn't buy a team. I'm saying there are not packs in the store that are worth your money that will actually give you somewhat near the value of what you're spending. Like, the packs in the store aren't even good. Like, you have to spend $600. I had someone come to my chat and said they spent $1,000 and they just got McDavid and that was it.
Yeah, like I think
like you know what I mean? And there should be a Grail card. There should be a Grail card. I want to make that very clear. I've been said this for a long time. There should be a card that is so hard to get, such a flex, that's sick, right? But the value, you know what I mean? Like you could make Gretzky and maybe one other hologram for $1,000. You know, it's like right. It's just there aren't packs in the store. So if you're thinking about spending a couple $100, like wait, like that's all I can tell you, because what is in the store and what is offered is not going to give you something that where you're like, sick, I'm in a good spot now. There's no, like, the packs include three cards. There's a pack that includes three cards. Like, they just don't give enough. And that's even if the people want to spend money. So,
yeah.
I apologize if people are upset that I didn't, again, go on Twitter and make a gigantic rant and try and shame publicly. I personally, as an adult, I can't stand Twitter because the interactions on there have just been so mindless over the last 2 years. What I did was I messaged the developers and I said, hey, we have an issue here. I would love to help. And if it's not me, everyone else would love to help. Let's just float some ideas here. Let's fix this because I think the game could be a 9, like in Hutt. The tools are all there. They're all there. All of the, you know what I mean? There's problems with the modes. Leaderboards are kind of scuffed right now. I don't know what happened. But hell, even seeing leaderboards as like, yo, I was like in the top 1,000. I was like, kind of sick, you know? Seeing, being able to see who's played 97 games of Rivals in a day and a half. A little embarrassing, but fun to see. You know, like,
loser.
We didn't have to play squad battles. Like, dude, not having to play squad battles is such a W. If you don't want to. Again, if squad battles out there, I understand that you want to play that. We're right there, you know? And that's the most frustrating part about all of this. We're so close, and we just need to get, you know, enough with the money. But it's a money mode, and, well, anyways. So
57 games in 5 days. We're going to do a little weekly segment we called How Many Games Have We Played in 5 Days? 57 games for General Bomber. Congratulations. Holy cow.
He's still around, huh? How many games have I played? Are you on Xbox?
I'm on Xbox. So we got a top five of 57 games for General Bomber. Spam hits 54.
Do you remember Sisu? Do you remember Sisu? Like the
Young Grand with 41.
He's still playing? I haven't seen him anywhere.
Oh yeah, him, Sapster, Uninstall, they're all up there.
Oh, those guys are streaming.
In 5 days, they have 50 games. Holy smokes. Rivals, that's crazy.
Yeah, I guess on 4 minute periods too. I guess that's
is that how long?
I think it's four. It says burst on the ice and in the mode, but I think it's classic still because the games took a while. I saw someone with in early access it was like 117. I was just like, but hey, that means it's at least enjoyable.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, yes, guys, you want to make sure you don't overplay video games so much so that it impacts your outside life. And I feel like playing, you know, 10 hours. I mean, actually, who am I to say? I've literally been live for 110 hours. So,
it's your job. So,
yeah. Yeah, but still, it's psychotic. It's legitimately psychotic. But anyways, before we get out of here, the season's about to start. Did you watch the Buffalo game? Did you catch it?
Yes, I did watch it yesterday. Yes.
New Jersey looks like a way.
Markstrom played great. Yeah.
Like that team, frustrating because I just can't stand the Devils. Markstrom looks like, man, if they just would have got Markstrom last year, they probably would have made the playoffs, but they just did not. Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. We got to talk about the Swayman situation. Dude, prediction first. What happens?
I think he'll sign there. I mean, I don't.
For how
I
much?
I don't know how they. I don't know how. I mean, I think it'll be like $9 million.
Yeah, I think he's getting.
But I just don't understand like why no one's offer sheeted him yet. Just because
that's
like,
4 picks at that cost.
What is it? A first, a second, and
no, it's four. After like $7 million, that's $10 million.
I thought it was a first.
Someone in chat, give us the someone in my chat. Is it a first, a second, and a third? Maybe you're right
like,
on that.
That's it. It's like you're getting a franchise goalie, and he's like 25,
and. The Bruins will just match it, though.
Yeah, well, then they should.
That's a good. You know what I mean? Yeah, I guess.
I'd be begging a team to do it.
It's four firsts at nine. After nine million, yeah, no way. After right now, it's two firsts, one second, one third. Two firsts, a second, and a third.
When you had your podcast on before you were back in the room before you started, Kiprios and them were talking about it, and that's when I heard. I was like, yeah, I wonder why no one has shoot him yet. And the guy that was on there with him said it was a first, a second, and a third. That's what he said.
Okay, a first, a second. Okay, if it's that price, man, like Detroit, like, you know, Detroit would immediately become a playoff team. Who would be able to handle
that? That's what he said. I would offer 8 years at 9.1. It's a first, a second, and a third. That's what the guy said on there. That's what I would do. I would offer him 8 years, 9.1 million, and then. Whatever, yeah.
I think the problem is, and what's funny is I don't even know if the Bruins would match because at that point, you know that both like the team and the player just don't like, not like each other, but it's like, how bad, you know what I mean? Like, dude, the Bruins collapse here, and the it's not mismanagement, but what they did was they hedged their bets on Swayman signing and not and took a bigger took a bigger Allmark deal instead of not trading Allmark and then being able to sign Swayman and then taking a much less offer for Allmark. Because the second they moved Allmark, I said it on here. I was like, man, they just walked Swayman to all the leverage because they had to rush trading Allmark because I believe he had a modified no move after July 1st. So they got like a first and whatever, which was at the time, I actually think is a, for a goaltender, regardless of how good they are, they always have low value, like in terms of trade value. And right. and it, he's only got 1 year. So there's a real possibility things go bad in Ottawa. And I got to be honest with you, it's not a lavish lifestyle in Ottawa. Allmark's like, I'm good. I'm going to go play, you know, in I was about to say Florida, not Nashville.
Anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, I'm good. And then,
You know where I would go? You know who should sign Swayman at a.
What?
Is the Blackhawks should sign Swayman to an offer sheet. That's what I said.
Ugh. No, man, no, you can't. Because they're not, I think they would be, it would make them very good and it would make them very good quicker. But bro, you're risking a first, like that Chicago roster, like you're still going to be a top five pick.
Sure. I'm just saying you would get a franchise goalie. Just
I
like
guess
that,
that's true. That is true. Like what
franchise another... goalie, franchise centerman. Like
that,
that's
man, that would be, yo, that's putting your nuts on the table. And I respect
that,
it.
That's a team though, that like right now where it's like when I think of like somebody that like, kind of like with you guys with a scar off, it's like, you know, like that was like, okay, there's like your franchise goalie. It's like, I try to think of teams that like literally need a franchise goalie that don't have any kind of goaltending, like whatsoever. Like Peter Mrazek's fine for like whatever, but
yeah,
it's not like he's going to be there in 5 or 6 years.
That's true. Goalie is easy, is the most replaceable position, but when you don't have one, it is very, you're right. It is very tough. Chicago's interesting. Yeah, dude, Vegas with the Leonard thing, they got cap space. Like, they keep getting away with it. And like, I think it's fine. It's all within the rules. And that's
if they dump Aiden Hill, they might be able to fit him.
Yeah. And like, dude, they'll find a way. They'll probably go on LTIR because Aiden Hill's always hurt now. It's like, they just keep getting away with it. And it's hilarious to me. Like, I tweeted
that the Wings need goalies though, but the Wings have like 7 goalies right now that are NHL.
The Wings need like a first line player. They have an entire team of second liners, and I know it's like, mate, but Lucas Raymond. It's like, bro, I'm talking like a 90 point player. Like they need a, you know.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's there's a few teams that I guess I could see, but I like you said, like honestly, when you think of like goaltending though, like yeah, Vegas would be pretty sick if Vegas somehow got.
Could you imagine they offered you Swayman and. But they don't have the first round pick because it's the Sharks now. Well, it's technically Nashville's now. But, dude, it's just I like the Leafs. We've talked about that quite a bit. And I don't like the Bruins. I never have. But I love the Red Sox and Patriots and the city of Boston. So the weirdest thing ever. I don't know why. I've just always disliked the Bruins. Watching their downfall it's just hilarious. Because if they lose Swayman, do you think that there is a position in which he does not play for the Bruins this year? I don't. I think he'll sign. I think he'll sign him.
I think he will too. But at this point, it's like, I don't know. Is the bad blood so bad where it's like.
Like $11 million for 1 year? And then like they got to do it again?
Yeah. I texted Grinnelli from Spit and Chicklets about it because he's like a Boston
guy. He's a Boston guy, yeah.
And I'm like, there has to be more to it than. There has to be more to it than just like the money, right? At this point, he goes, there's more to it. And it's like. Like they said, that the whole, you know,
you see the Amazon concept. Prime thing.
I did. I got to ask you. I watched the first two episodes last night. So the Nylander and Pasternak, and then the Forsberg and Eichel. I was disappointed with that they picked Swayman and Pasternak. Like, why don't you mix it up a little bit? Like, don't have the same team. But I thought of like the first one they went like balls to the walls on at least, and then like the second one was kind of like not as crazy. Yeah. Part of it was because it had like that Bruins and Leafs series, so it was like so magnified, and I feel like they just put so much more into it. And then the second episode was just like, all right, Nashville, they might make the they made the playoffs, okay, yeah. Vegas Cup winner, and then both teams lost in the first round, and it's like, all right, and we're done. Like that was just kind of like it just kind of was like a letdown. I feel like compared to the first one, so I'm gonna watch like. probably two more tonight, just because I love that stuff. It reminds me so much of the HBO 24/7.
It reminds me of 30 and 30.
Yeah, it's just so much better than whatever the NHL's been doing the last like 5 years with the Quest for the Cup stuff. I just think this is so much more raw. Did anybody ever think, like, I know it's like the viral clip of the week, but like, did anybody ever think McDavid was like that behind closed doors?
No.
Like, maybe sure he was, you know, he was intense, but did anybody ever think he was going bananas like that?
When you see him on the bench and he's quiet, him not going out for the Conn Smythe.
Yeah.
Like, everyone roasted him. Like, dude, that's disrespectful. How could you not, you know what I mean? Like, all that stuff. Like, not wanting the Conn Smythe and stuff like that. And it's like, then you see in the background where he's just losing it because he's exhausted trying to drag him around. You know what I mean? Like, just, they did such a good job on that. But the Swayman, just to wrap up the Swayman thing, the fact that he's like, I broke down everything they said. Arbitration is ugly, man. You're basically arguing against why you don't want this player, you know? Like, that's essentially what you're doing. And I would love to hear more from arbitration players. It's very rare. You see it in football all the time because they franchise tag, right? That's why guys hold out, because a franchise tag in the NFL is you get one season and you're, I believe, you get an average of the top five players. So it's an exceptional amount of money. But it's like, you're not guaranteed, and you're afterwards, like, it's a one-year deal. So if you get hurt, you're toast. And like, Swayman is setting the goalie market for elite RFA, like, you know, like that, like, tier. And he wants, and he has all the leverage, and he's performed. Yeah. He's basically single-handedly eliminated the Leafs. And right. I know it's LOL Leafs. That's a 100-point team with a 60, almost 70 goal score on it. You know what I mean? Like, without
it's funny too, because this is like the first time the Bruins are in a spot where they've never like had to deal with something like this, because everyone always takes the pay cut. I mean, Pasta didn't take the pay cut, but like
Bergeron, like that whole next man up.
Yeah, the whole like, oh, we're gonna, you know, do it because everyone else is doing it type of thing. Like, that's completely like gone now, it seems like. You know what I mean? Like, they're all it's crazy.
And honestly, he knows that, and it's funny, like I said, it's all like, for Bruins fans out there that are mad at Swayman, dude, you literally gave him all the leverage. Like, their management handled this so poorly. It can't be like going out there and be like, he's got 64 reasons. You, even if that's true, which then Swayman's agent is like an absolute meat grinder, though. Like, he is one of the most hardcore. He was in the Nylander agent as well, who had to set the market for himself again, because Nylander came up first before Marner and Matthews, and then Dubas had to give all his buddies the best ever of everything, and ended up kind of tanking the Leafs' ability to really put together a cup-winning team. But the Swayman thing, he's like, he knows he has all the leverage, and he wants to be paid a little bit less than Shesterkin, you know? And he doesn't have a Vezina, but he's got a Jennings, and you could argue that he did just enough as Ullmark to, you know what I mean? Like, you know, so how does he have leverage? Someone in my chat asked. You traded away your other starting goaltender and brought in a goaltender that is one of the worst statistically in the last 2 years in Korpisalo, and you need a good goaltender for the Boston Bruins because that was their strength. And Swayman knows that if he leaves, the Bruins probably aren't a playoff team. Like, realistically, we're being honest here. They always find a way. The Bruins are always surprising. They always find a way. But that he knows there's no more Ullmark. All they had to do was take a hit on the Ullmark trade, keep him on the team, sign Swayman, and then trade Ullmark for pennies, right? And I guess that, depending on how good the Ottawa first-round pick is, we'll see. But he's an RFA, though, so if he sits, he's still an RFA next year? Absolutely, 100%. But he wants to be walked further into, you know what I mean? Like, he knows that his contract now will dictate, like, the rest of his life. He's done enough to earn, in my opinion, he's done enough to earn his big contract. You know, and getting nickel and dimed, he doesn't have to be nickel and dimed. The Bruins have no backup. They have no backup plan. Like, that's it. Like, there's nothing else they can do. They have to have Swayman if they want to be a contender. And that's how they has all the leverage. And he could just sit out. And he might just sit out. So.
All right.
That was fun. Anyways, guys, thank you for hanging out for episode 102. We'll be back next week to see if anything's changed. And, you know, the start of the NHL season. Let's go. Are you going to the home opener for the Blues?
Yeah, I'm going to home opener.
I got to go. What are you playing?
Let me start. I heard a song. It's my theme song.
We're gonna get DMCA'd. All right, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.